You're listening to the Jesus Culture Sacramento Message of the Week. We hope you enjoy this teaching from our guest speaker. For more information on our church, visit jcsacramento.com.
What I want to talk to you about today really has to do with, in the Beatitudes, there is just a list of blessed are, and you go through, and we get to this one that says, blessed are the peacemakers. That's really what I want to talk to you about, is being a peacemaker. Because it is, peace is really only accomplished through battle. You battle through peace to get to victory, and victory is the reward of victory is peace. Now, there's a difference between being a peacemaker and a peacekeeper. A peacekeeper is a liar. Now, we're just getting started. Okay, we're just getting started. We're going up a hill, though. Okay, so buckle your seatbelt. Okay, I shared last service that I remember early on in preaching. Somebody got up here and talked about what pastors do is they bring health to the sheep. But we're not playing up here, right? We're trying to get healthy. We're trying to get the sheep. The flock has got to be healthy. And sometimes what a shepherd has to do, he has to, put a sheep in a headlock. And he's got this little hook. And he takes this hook and he sticks it in the nose of the sheep. And he latches onto these larvae, worm things that get in the nose cavity and up into the brain and kill the sheep. And he's going to stick that hook in there and yank this nose worm out. That's what we're doing today, okay? That's what we're doing today. So every once in a while, if you just give me one of those, I'll know you're feeling it, all right? Fantastic. Peacekeepers and peacemakers are very different because peacemakers are willing to go into the battle and courageously do battle on behalf of the kingdom. Peacekeepers are motivated by fear and more interested in self-preservation. And so there is a vast difference when it comes to the character of who we are as believers, and blessed are those who are peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. They will be identified as those who belong to the Father. I don't know if you noticed, but there's a war raging. I mean, light and dark never seem more clear. Life and death never seemed to be more of a choice than it is today. And truth and lies have never been more confused than maybe right now. The prince of the power of the air is doing a fantastic job. He's got new tools now, so he can really pour on the deception. And it is challenging to manage through the deception when this host cultivates deception. Meaning that I participate in and welcome a spirit of fear leading me in how I'm going to conduct myself in my relationships. Will I find myself lying more than I'm telling the truth? Am I more comfortable saving my own life than pressing into the battle to get to the victory of peace? Well, I say, peace, peace, when there is no peace, because I'm being paid off. Jeremiah in chapter 6 and chapter 8 is rebuking the prophets and the priests and the shepherds for declaring peace, peace, when there is no peace because of their covetousness and their greed. And so many times I have ulterior motives in my cooperation in what I know is false, what I know is not true, what I know is a lie.
Years ago, it seems like so many years ago, Sherry and I were working in a group home where we had six adolescent teenage males in one house, and then we go to another house and there are six teenage females. And it was just, each one was a different world. But when we started working with this group of guys and another set of house parents. And when we came in, we noticed in their living room was a cage that is a giant bird cage from floor to ceiling. And we're like, wow, what's that? You know? And there's a parrot. There's an African gray parrot inside. And his name was Jacob. And Jacob would say, Jacob loves Jesus. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's a Christian bird. And he would say, praise the Lord. Read the word. Like, oh my gosh, he's a disciple and a worshiping bird. It's amazing. And then occasionally he would say, read the Lord, praise the word. Oh, he's just repeating stuff. He's a parrot. Well, my favorite thing that Jacob ever did was one time when we started working at this group home, Brittany was 1 year old. My oldest daughter was 1 year old. And one time, Jacob, in Sherry's voice, says, Brittany, no, no, no. That was my favorite thing he ever did. About 10 years later, we come back to see Mike and Kathy, our friends, and Jacob's cage is right over there. We say, hey, where's Jacob? And Mike says, oh. He said, one day I was changing his water and his food and the paper, and I came back, and Jacob is laying in the bottom of the pan. He said, I grabbed him. I ran in. I called the vet. I described what was going on. I said, he's just lifeless. He's like not even sick or anything. He's like, he's just dead. And the vet said, oh, did you say that's an African gray? Yeah. They have a cloaking device on them that hides any evidence of injury or sickness or need so they can protect themselves from predators. He was probably dead before he hit the bottom of that pan and had been sick for quite some time. And I thought, you know, this reminds me of so many Christians where we live almost like we perceive the world around us like a bunch of predators. Yeah. And we have to cloak ourselves. We have to hide ourselves and participate in a world that's actual fallacy. It's not true at all. How you doing? Fine. Does it bother you when I do this? No. Do you need anything? No. Are you upset? No. Frustrated. Or we have permission to be angry. I'm so angry. I'm so angry. Like, wow, because you look like you're something else. Are you hurt?
No, not hurt. I'm angry.
Oh, because it seems like you'd be scared.
No. No, I'm angry.
Why? Because angry looks powerful. Angry looks like I'm powerful. Yes. When I feel powerless, when I feel hurt, when I feel scared, I feel vulnerable. Yes. And when I perceive the world around me as a bunch of predators, I can't be vulnerable. So I will lie to you, and I will say I am powerful. I'm powerful right now. I'm angry. Ah, you should be afraid of my intense anger. Back away. Back away. And we actually end up hosting deception in our character because we cannot even see the truth ourselves because we are so afraid. We're so afraid of being hurt. We're so afraid of being taken advantage of. We're so afraid of losing. We're so afraid of not being in control. So we present falsehood instead of stepping into the light with each other and having fellowship in the light with each other and with Him.
I ain't stepping in that light. That's where people see it. People get shot in the light.
The more likely that you're in any kind of leadership role, the more you like the shadow.
Hang out back here in the shadow a little bit, you know, and throw all the new people out there in the light. We have grace for people that are new. The longer you've been here, the bigger the target.
And we're afraid that if I show myself, I won't be accepted. If I own what's going on with me, I won't be cared for. If I identify what it is that I need and let someone see it, it's quite possibly going to be neglected or abused. And so I cultivate distance. I cultivate distance in my most intimate relationships. I try to protect myself from someone who might hurt me. But here's the deal. Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, quit your lying. Quit lying and speak the truth in love. I'll read it because there's more. For we are members of one another, meaning that we owe it to each other to be a healthy body. And when I host deception, I taint the whole body. I become attractive to deception and literally host it. And that is such a common part of my worldview, my vocabulary, and my communication style. He goes on to say, be angry and do not sin. We think that means don't blow people up with your anger. Don't be abusive. Don't scream and cuss at people when you're upset. It also means don't lie. Be angry, but don't lie about it. Don't pretend like you're powerful when you're hurt. Don't pretend like you don't need anything when you're wounded, when you're scared, when you feel so powerless about this thing that keeps happening again and again. Be angry. There's nothing wrong with being angry. Don't lie about it. What else we got here? Don't let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Don't host deception. Don't do it. That's what makes it so prolific in our day, is that the very house of God is struggling with truth. And that is something that we have to repent of. We have to say, you know what? I'm not going to be a peacekeeper anymore. I'm not here to save my own life in this conversation or in this relationship or in your opinion. I'm not here to try to save me. I'm actually here to push into the battle, through the battle, into the victory, to peace. God bless the peacemakers, because we need a bunch of that. We need courageous believers who will push in to the place where I've been so afraid to go. And I won't back away to save my own life. I do a lot of executive consulting these days. And I worked with a group that had a CFO that was just fantastic. I mean, this lady was auditing $80 million contracts and coming up with absolute clean audits. And she's just a beast. The problem is she's really hard to work for. And she's tearing her team apart. And it's just getting worse and worse. In this particular season, it was high pressure and lots of angry. Angry again. What is so hard getting your job done? What is so hard about being perfect, people? What is the problem? How come this can't just happen again and again? Why'd I have to ask you again? Why do you think we're working late? Because it ain't done perfect yet. And she's having a really hard time keeping her people, and pretty soon everybody's leaving because they're not having any fun. And I'm talking with the CEO, and it's in that conversation that I discover what nobody on her team knows. And that is that her husband is terminally ill. And he's degrading rapidly. And she feels totally powerless. And she is losing her best friend. She's losing her closest relationship, the place she draws the most strength, and she feels super vulnerable. And nobody in this Christian organization knows what's going on in the light. All they know is the lie that she shows them, that she is big, and she is powerful, and she is tough, and she is bulletproof, and she is mean, and she is demanding. And all they know is a lie. What they don't know. And so she gets written up for the first time in her perfect career. She's written up by this CEO who loves her, but it's like, this stops here. And finally, she discovers that she has a problem that she needs to correct. And she has a mess that she has to clean up. And she decides to sit with the whole department. Instead of go one-on-one, she's like, we run as a pack. I made this mess as a group. I'm going to clean this up as a group. And she sits down and she tells them what's going on with her best friend.
And of course, what do you think happens? Everybody cares. Everybody loves her. Everybody forgives the lie because they now have the truth. Here's the power of the truth. The truth will set you free. You know why? Because as soon as I know the truth between you and I understand why you act the way you act. But when you show me lie after lie after lie, I have to make it up, and it's hardly ever in your favor. See, the power of truth sets us free. Whenever I hear somebody say, I don't trust them. I don't trust them. I don't trust them at all. I'll tell you what they did, and now here's why I don't trust them anymore, because what they did, they lost my trust. You control my trust. You understand how trust works? Because trust is the exchange of truth. So when you tell me you don't trust somebody, I don't trust my wife, I don't trust my husband, I don't trust my oldest son, I don't trust my youngest daughter, I don't trust my mom, I don't trust tall people, I don't trust short people, I don't trust young people, I don't trust old people, I don't trust leaders, I don't trust men, I don't trust women. Let me tell you something. You didn't tell me anything about them. You just told me all I need to know about you. And here's what I know about you. You don't truth those people. So you broke trust on your half of the relationship. Trust will never take place in that relationship because you won't truth. See, you control your truth. That's why the Bible can say, speak the truth. You control your love. That's why Jesus can command you, love your enemy. Love my enemy, that's impossible. Yeah, with man, that's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Love your enemy. You know what that does? You know what love your enemy does? It makes a situation for you where you have no enemies. Is this working? It creates a reality where you are disallowed to have an enemy. Even if they vote different than you. If you are a believer and you claim to know Jesus and he is Lord of your life, you no longer get to have an enemy, let alone be married to one. Honor all people. 1 Peter tells us, honor all people. Well, who's that leave out?
Well, it depends on what the Greek word all there means, doesn't it?
Well, guess what the Greek word all there means? All. Love your enemy, honor all people, speak the truth in love. Those are three things you 100% control about your life. Therefore, you are 100% accountable for those three things in your life. Trust is built through the exchange of truth. The exchange requires that you show up and tell the truth. So it becomes super important in your starting in your most intimate relationships where you learn what's going on with you. What is happening with you? Do you even know what's going on inside of you? Do you know what color it is on in this inside there? Can you tell somebody? It's orange in here. It's orange. Oh, it's orange in there? I had no idea what was going on inside of you. Had zero idea what was happening in there until you told me. That's speaking the truth. A lot of people think truth is like, so we're going to tell the truth finally? Finally, we're going to tell some truth around here, are we? Oh, who gets to go first? Who gets to go first? I'll go first. You. And another thing, you. And somehow we think that somebody is going to just thank us for being so accurate in your scathing, punishing judgments of me. No, that's how you start a fight. You start a fight by saying you and then needing them to agree with you. Some people, like, you know, they went to communication class, they're like, now please hear my heart. I just want you to hear my heart. And basically, don't get defensive and don't discount what I have to say just because we're married. Will you hear my heart? Now please don't just, you gotta hear my heart though. You gotta see where I'm coming from. I'm really, really want you to hear this. Please hear my heart. Well, basically, you're selfish and evil, right? I mean, can you hear my heart? Can you hear my heart? Did you hear my heart? See, if you need my agreement on your judgments of me, this is not going well. This is where I begin to fight you. But if you tell me about you, two things happen. I have no defense against your experience of me, and I learned something I didn't know, which sets me up to make really good adjustments. If you tell me you're hurt, you tell me you're scared, you tell me you feel powerless or disconnected from me, if you feel rejected or judged, or you feel punished or disrespected, I didn't know that. I thought you were just angry. And I fight your anger, but I don't fight your hurt. I have a very different response to you telling me about you in love. Total game changer. Totally helps me out. Now I know how to best respond to care and to show that I care, because I'm not jacked up with self-preservation that came from you having fun stripping my skin off my body in your judgments. I can think. I can see you. We're in the light together. I may have a mess to clean up, probably do, but I want to clean it up because I don't ever want you to feel like that. For some reason, I don't know, to this day, I don't know why, but Sherry has a completely different experience of my driving than I do. I don't know why that is. I mean, I think that we're having the time of our life, and she thinks I'm trying to kill us. How is that happening? How in the world are you not enjoying this experience? And so she would tell me, you are a homicidal, suicidal maniac that should not be allowed to drive.
And I would say, uh-uh. And now we have a fight. We are disconnected because of the experience. And now we have a fight. Which means this disconnection is going to last longer. Why? Because I think I should be able to control whether or not she enjoys drifting. Maybe if I just said it correctly, there's nothing to worry about. You have too much fear in your life. The Bible says, do not be afraid.
Ask me how that worked out for me.
No. I don't get to tell her how she's experiencing life. I don't get to tell her how she's experiencing me. When we first got married, I thought to myself, Sherry is so blessed. The things that are coming up for her. Because she's going to experience me just exactly as I intend for her to experience me. Watch this. It's called young man disorder. Okay? I thought, here we go. Here's some goodness. Here's some more goodness. Here you go. Here's some romantic goodness. Here's some adventure goodness. Here's some comedy goodness. It was like a tennis match. You want me to do what with this goodness? Because she did not have the same experience that I intended. People don't intend, they don't experience your intents. And if I don't have some kind of feedback system in my life, I'll never know how she's experiencing me. I'll just be under a delusion that there's only one way you could experience me, and it's amazing. And you must be crazy. You must be crazy to not love every second of what I'm doing. And then I began to get feedback. And our love began to mature because then I could adjust. I could adjust once I learned how that experience was going. Oh. You don't like to be scared. Huh. I thought it was fun. Boo, wow, smack, oh, what? It's a deal, okay, I'll just be quicker. I'll just move my face quicker. Boo. No, I don't like being scared. I don't like that, ever, ever. Well, you know, I'm free to scare you anytime I want to. I'm free to drive however I want to. I'm free, and as a young man, I fought to protect my freedoms. And the disconnects that I was creating. I was free. I was miserably free. But as soon as I began to make adjustments to protect the connection, because I had good information, I had the truth, then I could respond in love. And that's maturing in love that casts out scary. And that's who we are. That's what we're doing. Blessed are the peacemakers, because they will push in, courageously push in to the battle. Push into learning, push into listening, push into adjusting, push into the fear until you get to the victory. And now, we have peace. Our love has matured. Our love has chased away the fear. And that's who we're called to be as peacemakers. Peacekeepers undermine that. And they intensify the scary. They intensify the self-preservation. They intensify the disconnections and the judgments. So if deception is the art of war, then truth is the art of peace. The greatest offensive weapon that we have as believers is peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Amen? All right, let's all stand together. If you need to scratch your nose, I understand. I understand that was a lot. That's a lot. Okay, put your hand on your chest, your heart, wherever that thing is in there. Father, thank you for a spirit of love, power, and self-control. Thank you that you can lead us into wanting to obey, being able to obey, wanting and being able to love our enemies, wanting and being able to honor all people, and wanting and being able to speak the truth in love, and to be angry and not sin, and to create health in ourselves and in your body, that we would become immune, that we would be immune to the infection of deception. Lord, we pray that our relationships are bound together in love that cannot be broken, so that you will be glorified and all the world will know that we belong to you because of the quality of love and the quality of truth that we have for one another.
Thanks for listening to the message of the week. Hungry for more? Search Jesus Culture on your podcast platforms to check out more from our Jesus Culture podcast network.